Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
Is always and has always been true. Little things do mean a lot. Now, when we think about little, we need to remember that little is a relative term. It depends on what you might use as a standard of comparison, isn't it? What might seem a small thing to me might in fact be a very large thing to someone else, and vice versa. When we look back in history, it might have been a very small act in the sight of men, the Bethlehemites, that a small baby was born out in a stable on one wintry evening. But it was not an insignificant and little thing to the world, was it? It was not an insignificant and little thing to God. And likewise, it was an insignificant and evidently, relatively speaking, little thing to the Roman Empire that a Jew, just another Jew, was crucified on a cross at a place called Golgotha outside of Jerusalem. And yet, think of the impact that that one little so-called insignificant event meant to the world. Little things, little words, little acts are all around us, but we sometimes fail to really see the significance of those things which are small, are called small or little. I want to share with you tonight some things that I think demonstrate the value of little things. First of all, let's look at little objects or little things. The Bible is filled with God's use of small objects or little things. For instance, I had Brother Thomas to read tonight about an ant. Look at an ant. And look at Proverbs 30 and verse 24 when the writer says, "The ant is little among its creatures, and yet it stores up for the winter." In other words, it's wise. Have you ever seen an ant lay back on its back and fold its arms and be slothful? Now that's the picture that the writer of Proverbs here is. Every ant I've ever seen has been busy. And he says, now use that as an object lesson. He said, if you want to get something done, be busy, don't be slothful. He used a little ant. And also in Proverbs 30, he used a little coney, a rabbit-like animal. He said, they're really small little animals, but they build their houses among the rocks in the mountains. And also he says, look at the locusts, how little they are, and yet they go forth in great mass with no leadership and yet seemingly and apparently together. He talks about lizards, a little lizard, and yet they're in king's houses. Little things can teach us, little objects, little animals God uses in a very significant way. David was a little boy, relatively speaking, compared to the giant Goliath. And he had a little stone compared to that gigantic spear and the shield and the weapons of Goliath the giant. And yet look what God did with a little boy and a little stone and a little sling. He brought Israel back to power to win a battle and bring them back in then to an acceptable political situation in their day. A little boy, a little sling, and a little stone. And yet God used them in a mighty way. When we come to the New Testament, we see Jesus using little things. The widow's mites, for instance. Little coins of little value compared to what others were giving out of their abundance. And yet Jesus used those little mites, those little coins, that little value to illustrate the importance of giving sacrificially. He chose a little widow, an insignificant person, little coins to teach the importance of giving in a sacrificial way. How valuable are little things? Well, Jesus thought that this widow was mighty valuable because she had set a perfect example of what it really means to give and to give of one's means. When we come on through the New Testament, we notice that Jesus used a little boy, five loaves, and two small fish. And yet He used them in a mighty way to feed 5,000 men seated in companies on the grass. The disciples were beside themselves when Jesus said, "We've got to feed these people. I have compassion on them. I don't want them to have to go back without having eaten." And they said, "Well, we don't have enough money to buy anything for even a bite for every one of them." And so, "Well, what do we have?" And they said, "Well, a little boy is here, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 little fish. And He said, "That's enough." And from that, those little things, He worked a great miracle. I wonder what the little boy must have remembered all of his life. I wonder if he looked back and said, "If I could have been some great thing, if I just had the money to buy everybody a meal today, if I just had something great to do." But he was a little boy with little possessions, and yet God used him in a mighty way. Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verse 3, was a wee little man. We sing sometimes, Ken, in Vacation Bible School. A wee little man. We're talking about he was small in stature. He didn't have much height. He couldn't see over the crowd. And so what did he do? He wanted to see the Lord, so he ran ahead on the course that the Lord was taking. He climbed up in a tree and was there to observe the Lord as He passed. And Jesus looked up into that tree and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, because I'm going to go and abide with you in your house." Why the Pharisees and the people who were following Jesus were disturbed a great deal, because the Bible says that he was a chief publican, a tax collector. And they said, "Will this Jesus go into a sinner's house?" And the answer to that, of course, was Jesus would say, "Yes, I will." And Zacchaeus said, I give half of what I have." He was very rich, the Bible says. "I give half of all that I have to the poor. And if I defraud anybody, or if I have any problem with taxes or any questions and I make a mistake, I give them twofold back." And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house." And I think maybe significantly, the great passage that we use so frequently in Luke 19 and verse 10 that says, "I came to seek and save the lost." It was in the city, Zacchaeus. Oh, a little man. But he had great faith. And he had great moral qualities and character, which Jesus saw immediately and was willing to abide with him. Zacchaeus, a wee little man, but used in a great way. And then we have examples of a little leaven. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33, in a good way, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like unto a woman who puts a little leaven in a lump, and the leaven leaveneth the whole lump." In other words, that once that leaven is there, it influences whatever it comes in contact with. And just like yeast being put in the bread dough, it will affect the whole lump. And he says the kingdom ought to be like that. Think about it. Just a little leaven, and yet Jesus pictured this, or used this picture of the kingdom in this influence. But it's also used in a bad way. In the context of 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, the context of which is the man who is involved in a fornication with his father's wife. Paul warns, he said, "Don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" He says, "Get rid of that sinner. Get rid of that man if he will not repent. Do not have fellowship with him. Withdraw from him." Why? Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit, he says. Not a whole great bit, or a great amount, but a little bit will leaven the whole lump. It doesn't take it 15 or 20, it takes one. And so he uses a little leaven. But Jesus doesn't only use a little leaven to illustrate the kingdom and the influence that the kingdom ought to have, and also the influence of evil on the kingdom. He talks about a little seed, a mustard seed. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man who went out and planted a seed in the ground, and the ground brought forth a big tree." He said, "A mustard seed is small, the smallest seed that is amongst you. And yet when it's planted, it grows up into a large bush, a large tree, and the birds can roost in it." He says the kingdom of heaven is like that. It has a small beginning, very small, little, and yet it becomes tremendous in size. so that people can find rest and comfort within its branches. Also, James talks about the tongue being little. In James chapter 3 and verse 5, he says, the tongue is a little member, and yet it can move great things, just like a bridle or a bit can move a horse. And yet look at the size of the bit compared to the horse. And he said, just like a rudder can move the ship, and look at the size of the rudder compared to the ship. And just like a fire, a little spark, a little match can set on fire the world, he says. Likewise, the tongue is a little member, but it has great power. It can have power for good, or it can have power for evil. Little member, a little thing, a little object, and yet it is so powerful. Little things are important to God. Now, secondly, little words are important. The little word not, N-O-T. In Genesis 3, when the devil is tempting Eve, he says, has the Lord said to you that if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall die? And she said, yes, that's what the Lord said. And he said, thou shalt not surely die. The only difference between the statement that the Lord made and the statement that the devil made was N-O-T, not. Little word, but it changes the whole meaning. It negates it. It makes it exactly opposite of what God said. And so frequently today we have people who are trying to get us to say, let's not do that, or God doesn't want us to do that, or God does want us to do that, and they use not. Has the Lord said, thou shalt not do this? Well, it won't make any difference anyhow. So they add something to it. For an illustration of this, Mark 16:16, where Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Now, what our friends in the denomination of the world want us to do is to say that he that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved, and he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. There's just a little difference. One little word, N-O-T. But it's the devil's word. That's what the devil did to change his will and his word. N-O-T. You do not have to be baptized to be saved. But the Bible teaches that you do. So it's a little word, but it has a great influence and a great power in the meaning of things. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 to 9, not is emphasized. He says, God will take vengeance on them that know not God, and then obey, and those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice the N-O-T. They know not God. They don't know Him. And they have not obeyed the gospel. Vengeance will come on those. N-O-T. All the difference in the world. The difference between salvation and damnation. The difference between eternal life and eternal separation. N-O-T. That's the only difference there is. Think about two more little words. Yes and no. Small, aren't they? Little things. Little words. Yes, no. But how far-reaching are the consequences in the church? Yes, I will do the best I can. No, I won't even try. Yes? Do you say yes to the Lord? Yes to His work? Yes to His service? Or do you say no? Both small words, but both so big in consequences. Little in work, little in length, little in size, but oh, how meaningful to the Lord's work. Yes or no? Which will it be? Which is it in your life? Which word do you most frequently use when it comes to the Lord's service? Yes and no also has relationship to sin, doesn't it? The devil tempts us. We're tempted to do what he wants us to do and tempted by the lust of the flesh and so forth. And we say yes or no. Which is it? Am I inclined to say yes to sin or no to sin? Little words, but very significant in their import. And also, sin, S-I-N, little word, three letters, but oh, how terrible are the consequences of it. Sin. There are no little sins as far as God is concerned. All of them are big sins. Now, they're little sins in our vocabulary. You know, we talk about little sins, little lies, and all this kind of thing. As far as God is concerned, all sin is terrible. And all sin will separate us from God. All sin must be forgiven. And forgiveness only comes from God to all men. Only when they will accept that forgiveness. Sin separates us from God. Insignificant little word. But it has great ramifications. Sin. Think about the little word God. Little word. G-O-D. It's a little bitty word. But what other three-letter word can you think of that has such a deep meaning? God. And love. Four-letter word. That's the kind of four-letter word I like to hear. Love of God. For us. For God. From us. By people. For people. From people. Love of mother. Love of father. Love from mother. Love from father. Love of children. Love for children. Love of the family. Love of the church. Love for one another. How significant is that little word, love? And how important it is. Love. And then let's think about for a moment the value of little things when we talk about little acts. Little acts are so important to us. Little acts of unkindness are important. When you think about little things that people do that are unkind, they don't have to be big things. Generally speaking, we don't hurt one another with big things. You ever think about it? It's really the little things that hurt so bad sometimes. It's the little words that people say, the little statements that people say, the little snubs that some give, the little snide remark or sarcastic statement, or the little rumor or the little word of gossip. It's the little things, the little acts of unkindness that can be so detrimental to us. An unkind word said, or a kind word left unsaid, insignificant, little. People say, why do people get upset about little things like that? And yet they are very, very important, aren't they? Now, when we think about little words and little objects, when we think about little acts, we need to think about little acts that are good, little acts that mean so much. Now, I want to spend the rest of my time tonight talking about some things along that line. It was A.G. Freed who said on one occasion that little grains of sand make the beautiful beach. Small drops of water, the mighty sea. Little acts of kindness bring sunshine into lonely lives. It is faithfulness in small things that prepares one for larger duties in life. Remember that life has more to do with little things than great things. Ignorance or neglect of this great truth leads to many failures. Have you not stood in admiration of the huge crystal formations and caves like the Mammoth? Did you not wonder how they came there? Just a small particle of limestone from the tiny drops of water, day after day, year after year, produces the massive stalactites and stalagmites. It is the whole of the little things that make a great church. And I think that's a very, very true statement. Someone has said about little things and the value of little things, little acts of kindness. I've written this little poem entitled Little Things, and it goes like this. Oh, it's just the little homey things, the unobtrusive friendly things, the won't you let me help you things that make the pathway light. And it's just the jolly joking things, the laugh with me it's funny things, the never mind the trouble things that make our world seem bright. For all the countless famous things, the worldless or the world wondrous record breaking things, those never can be for or equal things that all the paper cite, can't match the little human things, the just because I love you things, those oh, it's simply nothing things that make us happy quite. So here's to all the little things, the everyday encountered things, the smile and face your trouble things, trust God to put it right, the done and then forgotten things, the can't you see I love you things, the hearty I am with you things that make life worth the fight. Little things. Visits. How significant in the long run of things will be one visit? Well, it may not be so significant in the overall historical relevance to our world. But it may mean all the difference in the world to some person who's lonely, and some person who feels forgotten, and some person who feels unwanted. Are those calls on the telephone? Just thought I'd call and see how you're doing. That really make a difference in life, isn't it? I don't know how frequently I've visited the hospital and have someone say, you ought to see the cards that I've received while I've been in the hospital. I know it. When I thought about it the other day at the funeral service for Sister Phillips, I thought about all the cards that she received while she was in the hospital. And you know, there's no way that you can put an estimate on the value of that to that woman's life. I don't know that she particularly needed it, but I know she commented about every time I saw her about how many people had been so nice and so gracious to send cards and call and that kind of thing. And the little flower arrangements that people brought to her. And I've seen those over and over again to others who are in similar situations in the hospital. Little things like that. So, well, that's not a great big thing. No, it's not. It's not a time-consuming thing, not particularly. But it is a very important thing. Little things. A little visit. A little call. A little card. A little gift. Makes all the difference to some people. And it makes all the difference, if you really want to get right down to it, if we're honest, in many cases to us. The little gift to a future mother or a future wife, all of these things mean so much. In Romans 12 and verse 15, Paul said that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Someone has said, I believe there is more satisfaction in patting a man on the back than in standing on his neck. I believe there is more fun in lifting a man up than holding him down. I believe happiness is bound up with helpfulness. That pat on the back when someone does well means an awfully lot. It means I'm not jealous of you, I'm happy for you. I'm not envious of you, I'm grateful for you. I'm not spitefully thinking about you, but rather I'm encouraging you to go on and do more. That word of encouragement when someone is low, when things just seem to be going wrong and not going right, means so much. That thank you that you receive or that you give to someone for something they've done for you means a great deal. It's awfully hard to put thank you into words. And perhaps that's one of the finest words there is. Rudyard Kipling, a few years ago, was asked by a group of university students for his very best word. He sent back the word thanks. That is one of the best words in any language, and it is worth so much both to the man who speaks it and to the man who hears it. Wonderful word, isn't it? Thanks. Little acts and little things are essential to our work for the Lord here. It's not the great big things that will result in lasting good. It'll be all the little things that we do together. I dare say that there will not be too many of us who will do great big things. I doubt very much that I'm going to be doing very many great big things. But together with all of our little acts and all of the little things that we do together, it will result in great good. One's readiness to volunteer and then do what they volunteer to do means a great deal to the work, doesn't it? Now that's a little thing. People say, well, anybody that volunteers ought to be willing to do it. Well, that's why they volunteer. I heard a little story the other day about some Indians, a certain type of Indian, always said no, they always said yes. If someone asked them to do something, they'd say yes. If someone asked them to go someplace, they'd say yes. If someone asked them, do you agree with such and such, they'd say yes. But in reality, they really didn't mean yes. So at a council meeting, some of the people who were working with this tribe were trying to ascertain when an Indian meant yes and when he meant no. And one of the old wrinkled-faced chiefs stood up and said, "When Indians say yes and do it, he mean yes. When he say yes and don't do it, he mean no." That's exactly right. There's a lot of folks who say yes who don't have any intention of carrying it out. We need people who say yes, and then we'll meet their obligation. Brethren, if we put our names on the list to wait on the table, we ought to be here when our names appear in the bulletin. And we ought to do what the bulletin asks to do and make the phone call and tell people that they're not here. One of the little things that people do is to see that that list is made up. And I tell you, I appreciate those of you who have your names on the list to see after the list, because I know that can be a job. And I appreciate those of you who do that. Little thing, but it means a lot to our work. Somebody has to be responsible for that, don't they? Somebody has to see after that. And I appreciate them doing it very, very much. There's a story told one time about an ancient king who invited all the villagers for a big feast. And he told every one of them to bring a bottle of wine. He sent out the invitation and said, "When you bring this wine, we're going to put it all together, and then we're going to have one big barrel of wine from which all of us will enjoy." Time came for the feast, and one man thought, "Well, I really don't have the wine to bring, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring a bottle of water. Because after all, it's such a little thing, and no one will ever know." And so he brought his bottle of water and poured it into the barrel. And when the wine was served, guess what came forth? Water. Everyone thought the same thing. All of our little things together are important. None of us can fail in the little things. We need to do the little things. We need to be involved in the little things. Do what I need to do in the little things. Because all of us together will result in great good. But if we all think like this man thought, "Well, my little bit won't make any difference." I've been seeing recently in the bulletins about the idea of if everyone in the church was just like me, what would the church be like? I think that's what I'm talking about. The little things. Little things truly do mean a lot. When we think about rejoicing with those who rejoice and helping those who need help and so forth, I think about this little statement. I think it's significant. "A tear is a little thing, and yet it may contain the most enormous feeling of which humanity is capable." Paul did say, "Weep with those who weep," didn't he? And sometimes just one tear of compassion and concern can mean so much, can it? A smile is a little thing, but it can cheer an entire day. It's a little statement that I've seen several times and frequently. If you see someone without a smile, give him one of yours. That's right. Brother Alan Bryan used to say, "Is everybody happy? If so, inform your face." We need to do that from time to time. We need to inform our faces that we are Christians and that we have great joy and we have reason to smile. A pause is a little thing, but it can delay violence or a heavenly underscore the most meaningful message. Life is made up and through of little things. The kingdom of the Lord in its little things that really count. The warm handshake that communicates approval or a full-hearted acceptance. The hand on the shoulder that spells out silent, meaningful encouragement. And the absence of all these little things which causes one to fall by the wayside, convinced that no one really cares. Little things do make a difference. You are one person, but you are a person. You cannot do everything, but you can do something. And what you can do, you need to do because you can do it. I'm talking about little things such as preparing the communion bread. I personally like homemade communion bread better than I do that which is purchased in the box. And I appreciate those of you who are ladies who do that. I don't guess we have any men who are baking that. So I'll say ladies, and if there are any men, I apologize. But I appreciate that, and I think it says something about us. It says something about our interest in the worship service. We care enough to do it ourselves. To be present to serve, as I talked about a moment ago, means something. It's a little thing, but it means something. It means I have an interest in the church. I have an interest in being there if my name's on the bulletin list. And also, those of you who take the communion to those who are sick, I don't think it's necessary that people take of the Lord's Supper when they're sick, but I think it's a gesture of interest and concern on the church's part for those who do take it. And I appreciate those of you who do that and miss Bible study in order to do it. I appreciate those who carry food to the sick. Frequently, we've had several deaths, as you well know. And as I've talked with these people, I've just in passing picked up word about how much food has been brought by members of the Central Congregation. One lady a few weeks ago said, you know, we're not members over there or anything, but we know a lot of people and they know us. And you know that more people from Central have brought food than any other place in town. That says something. It says something about Sister Johnny Walker and those who are working with her, doesn't it? And those of you who ladies who are willing to do that. Food brought over there to Brother Hyes and left there for the family. Food taken to the home. Brother Hyes, I think, told me the other day he still had 3 or 4 cakes left in the freezer from when his lovely wife passed away. And food for, I think he said, 40 or 50 or more people that were there on that particular day. And yet food left over. Well, that says something for the little things, doesn't it? Now you see, one person couldn't have done all of that, but all of us together, many of you together, let us say that, did. I appreciate those who drive the bus. Little thing. But don't some of you appreciate that? What if we didn't have the bus and nobody would drive it? You know, that's been a problem some places. People wouldn't drive the bus. I'm thankful to those who care after it and see after it and drive it and pick up those who need transportation to come. The little thing of helping in the Storytime Worship Hour on Sunday night. It's a little thing. It's not a great big thing. Everybody does small things. But working together, I think it's a great program. It's a great thing. It's good for the church here and it results in good. Those who teach the Bible classes, who spend that extra time and extra effort to train and to learn new ideas and to put them into practice and to make new materials and to see that their class is a good class, not a mediocre class, not a class to have a class, but a class is as it should be, with a prepared teacher who will create interest in those students who are there. Those who assist and substitute, and those who stay in the nursery, all little things, aren't they? But aren't they important? I think they are. Encouraging one another to keep on keeping on is important. That's one of the reasons that I like our little Sunday morning thing. I don't know if you all noticed it or not. I didn't do it this morning. I want to see if there's any comment. There hasn't been. But I personally think it's good. I know there are some perhaps who don't. But I think it's encouraging to encourage. And part of our coming together ought to be to encourage and exhorting one another. And I'm still convinced that that's a convenient way and an easy way to do it. Benevolence. I mentioned this in the bulletin this week. And how many people spend many hours in working in those rooms and preparing and seeing after those needs. And then, I guess, next Sunday afternoon, Brother Cale, don't we go to the nursing home again? So next Sunday afternoon, we'll have an opportunity to do a little thing. Take an hour on Sunday afternoon and go to the nursing home to help them in a worship service. It's a little thing, but I think it does mean something, doesn't it? It says something about our interest. The flowers, and I'm so glad they're here. They add to my appearance so much. I need all the help I can get. And I think they're beautiful. And Polly who does them, and the flowers that are brought and prepared and sometimes purchased and provided by her, I think they mean something. I appreciate them. And you know something else, and Charlie Stemridge is back here. Now, all of us know that Charlie's one of the staff, right? And he takes care of the building and the outside and the grounds. But you know, he does all kinds of little things, extra, not required things, that make me proud to have anybody visit with us on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, don't you? You don't have to worry about coming in here and seeing stuff laying all over this building, do you? You don't have to worry about anything being out of order or disarray or anything, because Brother Stembridge is on the job. Now, he doesn't have to be that conscientious. He doesn't have to stay and wait for us to get our gab sessions over. He could complain and flick the lights on us and kick us out, but he doesn't. Little things. I've seen him spend many extra hours for fellowship meals and that kind of thing just in the 6 months I've been here. I don't know how long and how many hours he's spent otherwise. Now, that's a little thing to some, but it's not a little thing to me. And I think if you think about it, it's not so little to you. It's those extra efforts, the little extra efforts of friendliness on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night that will make the difference. Listening, that will make the difference between whether this congregation is a cold congregation or a warm, friendly, caring, loving congregation. It's your attitude and your friendliness and your little gestures, your little acts, that makes the difference. Yes, it's all of us working together, doing our own little things that make our program work. Brethren, to all of you who do all the little things and do them without complaint, the little things that you do without desiring honor, let me give you honor. So frequently, the little things are not spoken of, and we don't sometimes appreciate them. But I know one thing for sure. We don't do them for the reward we get of men. We do them because we love the Lord. We do not want to be seen of men. Many of you do things that no one ever knows about. Many of you visit that no one ever knows about. Many of you do little acts of kindness that no one ever knows about. And perhaps that's as it should be. But remember, the overall life will be a light unto the world, an epistle written in the hearts of men, illuminator in the world of darkness, lights on a hill. Little things do mean a lot. It may be, in the course of history, an insignificant thing that on August the 5th, 1979, at approximately 8 p.m., you were baptized into Christ. But it will make all the difference in the world for your eternity. Where will you be 100 years from tonight? Where will you be 100 years from tonight? If not obedient to the gospel, I know what the Bible teaches about that. And if you are, and you're faithful to the Lord, I know what the Bible teaches about that. If you've gone astray, become indifferent, failed in the little things, maybe you need to repent and do so publicly. We urge that you come right now while we're standing, while we're singing.